Amen. Well, thank you, Father. And Mashiach Yahushua. So tomorrow, this is March 31st, 2026, Nicene the 13th. Very important. So tomorrow is Nicene the 14th, which is Passover.
Are you saying Nisan?
Nisan, yeah. Nicene, Nisan, N-I-S-A-N.
Nisan.
And Passover is actually the Hebrew word. Hebrew is really Ibri, Peshach. It's P-E-S-A-H. And that's what we translate Passover, and that's what it means. There's a verb, and then there's a noun. So we're using it as the noun. So we're going to see that, you know, Passover, is very connected with leaven, which I never quite seen before. So
you have
leaven. So you have the lamb and leaven. The lamb, this is the Passover lamb. The Passover is nothing. You have to have the lamb to be passed over, the blood of the lamb, which obviously is Christ. And so we're going to be learning that on the covenant along with that. So, you know, tomorrow's Nicene the 15th, which is going to be on a Wednesday, and Christ actually was crucified on a Wednesday at 3 o'clock, which is the ninth hour. He was in the tomb for 72 hours. So from Wednesday, he gets up on Saturday. He doesn't get up on Sunday. Saturday after 3 o'clock, he's got to be in there 72 hours, which is still Sabbath. So Sabbath is Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset, according to the Ibri custom, which is the true custom. That's Sabbath. So we got to remember that. It's not Good Friday. Never has been Good Friday. And I'll explain to you later on how we even came up with, why would you call it Good Friday when our Savior was crucified? I have no idea. That should be Bad Friday. Good. It wasn't Friday. It was on a Wednesday. So let's just do a review on the Passover, which is Exodus 12. And actually, this is very interesting because Passover, Peshach, it's P-E-S-A-K-H, is how it's pronounced.
Would you mind spelling that again?
It's actually, it's P-E-S-A-H. Let me spell it. The first usage is in Exodus 12. The first usage of the word lamb, which is S-E, is in Exodus 12. Wow. So both these words, the first usage that Yahweh presented is in Exodus 12. Tells you a lot. So we got to do this as a review, not only to honor our Savior who was tortured for us. You know, I can almost see killing me is one thing. You know, that can be very quick.
Right.
You know, torture is a whole other thing. Torture is a whole other thing. All right. And that he did that for us, that we can live for him. And that's what we're going to show in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. You know, for the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. He died. So what's the purpose of the death? That we live for him. Yahushua lived for Yahweh, 100% obedient to his Father. We are committed to be 100% obedient to Yahushua.
Amen.
Wow, that's a real covenant. Yes, that's a covenant. That's what we're agreeing to. That's why he died. But Exodus 12:1-3, we're going to go through this. You need to read the whole chapter, but then spake Yahweh unto Moses, and unto, well, let's just start in 10, verse 11.
Chapter 10?
Yeah, chapter 11, verse 10, sorry, of Exodus. There's one verse above. Just look up on top of the page. So then Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, but Yahweh let Pharaoh's heart wax bold, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Okay, so this is the final straw. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, unto Aharon in the land of Egypt. And we say Aharon, and that's the correct pronunciation. That's why there's two A's instead of just one A. Aaron is one A.
Aharon. Moses is Moisha.
It's two syllables. This month is to you, which is Nisan. That's what we're talking about. This month, the first month was Tishri. So Genesis 1-2 is, or 1-3, when Yahweh says, let there be light, that is Tishri 1. And now we go into, Yahweh's going to change, instead of Tishri being the number one month, Nisan's going to be the number one month. This month is to you a beginning of months, the first it is to you of the months of the year. Speak ye unto all the assemblies of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, and this is very important, we're going to look at these dates, the 10th, the 14th, the 15th. On the 10th of this month, then let them take to them each man a lamb, that's the first usage of the word lamb, which is the Hebrew word say, S-E, and we're going to see that the first use of the word Passover is in Exodus 12. For this ancestral household, a lamb for a household. And so you can keep reading, but let's go to 5 now. A lamb, and it's going to be a Mashiach, a lamb without defect, a male, a year old, shall yours be. From the sheep or from the goat shall you take it. So shall it be yours to keep until the 14th day of the month. This is, tomorrow is the 14th day of Nisan. Then shall all the congregation of the assembly of Israel slay it between the two evenings. And that is the evening, you know, where the day begins in Hebrew or Ibri is at sunset. And so right now that could be around 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And this is, he's died at 3 as a Passover.
So it was tonight then.
Okay, let's just keep going.
When they took him, is that what you're saying?
Well, just wait a minute. We're not going there, but let's see, between the two, he is 7. And they shall take of the blood and put upon the two doorposts and upon the upper beam upon the house wherein they are to eat it. So we have to understand, what's the lamb for? We're in Egypt. Okay, we're polluted, as we're living in Egypt around all these pagan gods. And this is where we're going to see leaven and the lamb are so intertwined. And we have to have the blood, the lamb is our substitute for our sins. And so the lamb dies because of what I have done. And the blood is what gives me the propitiation from our sins. Now we go to 12, verse 12. And I will pass along, and I think that's pass along, therefore, throughout the land of Egypt. I think that's the word Passover in the verb. I will pass along throughout, therefore, throughout the land of Egypt this night, and will smite every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man even to beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, I, Yahweh. Here we're looking at that. Okay, the gods of Egypt, this is really what's and these are the same things that we have today, this wickedness. 13, then shall the blood serve you for a sign on the house where you are. Then will I behold the blood and will pass over you, and there shall be among you no plague to destroy when I smite the land of Egypt. So shall this day serve to you for a memorial, and you shall celebrate it as a festival to Yahweh. To your generation, as an age of budding statue, shall you celebrate it. Passover is on the 14th. The 15th is the full moon. The holiday, Yahweh's holidays are always on a full moon, which is the middle of the month. The Hebrews had a lunar calendar. We have a solar calendar, and even that we have to adjust. So tomorrow, on the 14th to the 15th, is going to be a full moon of Nisan. Let's see here. And so let's just read this. This is where the leaven comes in. So think of leaven. What does leaven have to do with it? And it's really fermentation, a swelling. Fermentation, swelling. What does leaven do for bread? It expands it.
Leaven.
It expands it. And it, wherever it touches it, it moves and penetrates. So we're going to see leaven here is evil. And so why you have no leaven is because and we're going to see that in the rest of the scriptures, that there's a sanctification, of separating yourself from Egypt. The leaven is a representation of the gods of Egypt and everything else that we're getting rid of. Anyway, what's the big deal about leaven? Why would you not get leaven? 15. So this begins on Nicene the 15th, which is the beginning of what they call the festival of Passover of unleavened bread. You know, there's three festivals: festival of unleavened bread, festival of weeks, and the festival of booths. So this comes first, the festival of unleavened bread, 7 days. 7 days unleavened bread shall you eat. Surely on the first day shall you put any leaven out of your house. And we know somebody lived in a Jewish house, and that's what they did. They cleaned the whole house from any leaven. For whosoever eats what is leaven, then shall that soul be cut off out of Israel. Wow, what's this about leaven? From the first day to the seventh day. Both on the first day, a holy convocation. This is where we got Good Friday. A holy convocation is a Sabbath. A holy convocation means you do not work. So here it's talking about the holy convocation on the first day and on the last day. So on the 15th and then on the 23rd, no work. That's a Sabbath. And so when we see Christ being crucified in Matthew, let's see where that is. Yeah, Mark 15:42. It's called the Eve of the Sabbath. And so Christians who don't know Hebrews, that are, you know, these church fathers, will say, Sabbath is Friday, right?
Yeah.
And Friday sunset. So he got crucified on Friday. No. He got crucified on Wednesday. The Sabbath was going to be Wednesday to Thursday. Because it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread that begins.
Not the weekly.
And that's where they got the seven. That's where they got the Good Friday. And we know he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, which is 72 hours. And so you can't be in the grave from Friday at 3 o'clock and get up Sunday. That's a day and a half. That's not 72 hours. And so you have this big mess up in the church, which is still done today. You know, even though people should know better, that shows you how much your teachers don't know is what it comes down to me. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, 15. Verse 16. Both on the first day of holy convocation, on the seventh day of holy convocation, which means no work, there shall there be to you, watch this, no work shall be done therein, save the only one must be eaten by every soul. That alone shall be done by you. So when you shall observe the unleavened cakes, because on the same day brought forth your host out of the land of Egypt, so then you shall observe this day to your generation as a statute, aid abiding in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening, shall you eat unleavened cakes until 1 and 20 days of the month in the evening. For 7 days, leaven shall be found in your houses. But whosoever eats what is leaven, then shall that soul be cut off out of the assembly of Israel, whether sojourner or native of the land. Nothing leaven shall you eat, in all of your dwellings shall you eat unleavened cakes. Okay, so we're seeing leaven with the Passover, with the lamb. And this is really going to be instrumental when we get into 1 Corinthians 5. Let's go here. We got 15, 20. Now, 29, same chapter, 30. And it shall come to pass at midnight that Yahweh smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat upon his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive who was in the pit of the prison, and every firstborn of beasts. Then rose up Pharaoh by night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there arose a great outcry throughout Egypt, for there was not a house wherein there was not one dead. You know, just that set them free. But leaven is connected to that. Now, if we go to Christ, our Passover, it's only mentioned once, and that's in 1 Corinthians 5, and we must look at the context of 1 Corinthians 5. Let's go look at that. Now we're going to see about the leaven in a bad state. So let's go to chapter 5, verse 7.
Okay, hold on.
Purge ye out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Now see, look at this. Purge you out the what?
The leaven.
The leaven. Purge you out the old leaven. So let's just look at the context of what we're talking about. Christ our Passover, the first verse of chapter 5 and the last verse of chapter 5. First verse. On all hands are reported to be among you fornication, and such fornication as this which not among the nations is found. Yeah, this is a reproof chapter. And if we look at the end, 13, whereas them who are without God judges, remove ye the wicked man from among yourself. That's the leaven. See, this is the leaven inside the church. Fornication, we're going to see. Let's just take a look at that. 5 verse 7. Purge ye out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. See, unleavened's good, leaven's bad. Separated. For our Passover hath been sacrificed Christ. Look at that, Passover and leaven connected. So then, let us be keeping the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of baseness and wickedness. So you're looking at leaven as classified, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So unleavened bread is where we're being purged from the sins of the people around us. They were purged from the sins of the people in Egypt with their gods. And let me see here. Yeah, let's look at 9. Yeah, 9 to 13. Let's see how many times leaven is used. I wrote unto you my letter, not to be mixing yourself up with fornicators, not all that, meaning the fornicators of this world, or the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Else had you been obligated in that case to go out of the world, but I have now written unto you not to be mixing yourself up with anyone named a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or extortioner. That's the leaven. These are the leaven in people's lives. With such as one is not as much to be eating together, for what have I to do with judging them who are without? Do you not judge them who are within? Whereas them who are without, Yahweh judges, remove you the wicked man from among you. But let's go back to 2, verse, and we're going to see about the leaven. And ye have become puffed up, and have not rather mourned, in order that he might be removed out of your midst, who indeed has been wrought. For I indeed, being absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged as present him who thus this thing has perpetrated. In the name of our Lord Yahushua, ye being gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Yahushua, to deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the spirit, for the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. 6. Unseemly is your boast. Know you not that a little leaven, that leaven the whole lump? Then he goes, purge you out the old leaven. So you're looking at this, and that is connected with the Passover. The whole thing with the Passover is to be, is to be redeemed by the blood, and then get away from this filth that's around you. See here? So we got leaven in verse, in chapter 5, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, the word leaven. Let's see here. Fermentation's flowing. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 11.
That's what Israel was purged out of Egypt.
Yeah.
There's a purging.
Yeah, and we're doing this. We're supposed to be purged out from the people around us, right in the church. So it's right in the church. These are the guys right in your church, and you're not purging them. And he says, you know, they saw in the house, if there was any leaven in your house during Pesach, how did you say it?
Pesach.
Pesach. And that's the Hebrew word. You're defiled. You can't do the Passover. Is that clean? So if we have friends in this category, we're defiled. We're living amongst leaven people. So if you got drunkards, you got homosexuals, you got fornicators, you got thieves, you know, these people, you're unleavened.
Democrat.
I mean, you're leavened. Yeah. But here is 16, verse 11 and 2, on a negative sense. How is it ye perceive not that not concerning loaves spake unto you, but beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Is this in a good light or a bad light? Bad light. Then understood they did not bid them beware of the leaven of loaves, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So Yahweh or Yahushua is calling the teachings polluted, corrupt, fermented. And that's the same as so many in our church today. It's the same teachings where we got Easter, really? Esther? You call this Easter? And you have eggs or fertility goddess, and you have bunnies or fertility goddess. This is Christianity. You got people dying on Good Friday and getting up on Sunday Resurrection Sunday. No, it was Resurrection Saturday. He didn't die on Friday, he died on Wednesday. But the whole point is not the day, it is Nisan the 14th. Nisan the 14th, because it's going to change every year what day it's going to be. Now we go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Seven through nine. You are running well. Who hath hindered you that by truth you are not persuaded? The truth you're not. So the truth we're bringing out to you right now will not go into most of the churches. The persuasion, not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Wow.
There you go, right back again. And you find out in chapter 3, verse 1, O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you? So this is the church of Galatia, as is it today. So we did the Good Friday, the mistake. They made it Good Friday. It's not Good Friday. We got that. Okay, now we're going to look at the Lamb. The Lamb is just, it's not any of the church epistles, but it is in John. So we're going to tie Christ with the Lamb. And wait a minute. The first usage of the word Lamb is Genesis 22:7. Let's go there first. This is just great. This is our Father
Lamb.
Yeah. That's the first usage of the word lamb.
22:7?
Yeah. And I thought I had it down here what the lamb, the word is. Let me see here. Yeah, 22:7. And this is Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac because Yahweh told him. 22:7. So this is verse 6. So Abraham, and you say Abraham because A-B means what?
Father.
Father. Ab is father. It's not Abba. That's Aramaic. Ab, A-B is father. So it's Abraham. It's not Abraham. We're actually it wrong. But so Abraham took the pieces of wood for the ascending sacrifice and laid them on Isaac his son. and took in his own hand the fire and the knife, and they went on their way, both of them together. Yahweh and Yahushua. Then said Isaac unto Abraham his father, then said he, my father. And he said, behold me, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the piece of the wood, but where is the lamb for the ascending sacrifice? The lamb, that's the first usage of the word lamb. Isn't that tremendous? Let's see here. Oh, lamb is say, yeah, S-E. So lamb is say, I already did that. It's number 7716.
They said Exodus 12 was the first usage of lamb.
This is the first usage of lamb. Genesis 22:7. And that's say, 77:16. Now we go to John, the only person, this is where John, the Gospel of John, should not be mixed with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is part of Revelation, the book of Revelation. So John should be in front of the book of Revelation. And there's no divine order when they put these Gospels together. Let's say this. As you know, this is John the Immerser. Where? John, chapter 1, verse 29. On the morrow, he behold Yahushua coming unto him and said, see the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And then in verse 36, and the two disciples hearkened unto him, speaking, 36. On the morrow, again, it was John, which is Yohanan, standing, and from among his disciples too, and looking at Yahushua walking, he said, see the Lamb of God. So that phrase, the Lamb, is not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But it is in the book of Revelation. Now look at how this is tied into the book of Revelation. The word Lamb, referring to Yahushua, used 28 times. That's 4 times 7.
In Revelation?
The book of Revelation. So 28 times the word lamb is used to identify him. We have one usage where the dragon appears as a lamb. And that's a good counterfeit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll go to that. Jesus used 14 times. You remember, Yahushua as the lamb is 28 times. And Christ is used 8 times. So look at the book of Revelation. What is that saying over and over? The lamb, the Passover lamb, the Passover lamb. What is happening is burning out the leaven in the book of Revelation. So look at the leaven that's in the book of Revelation. What is happening? Let's see here. And so let's go with Revelation 5, chapter 5. We're not going to go to every one of them. There's 28 usages, but yeah, it just perks up our ears. And obviously, lamb is a figure, a speech, to give you the attributes of what the lamb actually stood for, which was the substitute for mankind, which is us. That the innocent lamb died for us. So, let's see here. Chapter 5, verse 6. The whole chapter 5 is about, chapter 4 is about who's in heaven, and that's Yahweh and everybody with him. There's no human beings up there. Until you see chapter 5, that's Yahushua. There's only one human being in heaven. Moses is not there, Elijah's not there, Enoch's not there, on and on and on. It's just Yahushua. He's the only human being, or this, the Adam. So we just, mankind is called Adams. That's the Hebrew word. Can you be either Adam, or it can mean all his descendants, or Adams. You know, Eve is called an Adam. And that's the word, instead of a homo sapien, we're Adams. 5 verse 6. And I saw in the midst of the throne of heaven the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb. Isn't that cool? A lamb. Standing and showing that it had been slain. And lamb in Greek is neuter. And so the pronoun is going to be it. Everybody, other translations are going to translate and move it to he, which is now you just corrupted the text. You just corrupted the text. Because where else can you change pronouns and you're not telling me? The lamb standing showing that it had been slain, having met the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven ruachs of Elohim, sent forth into all the earth. Let's see here, verse 8. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the four and 20 elders fell down before Jesus. Before the Lamb, having such a one as a harp and bowl and full of gold, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And then we go to verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And then we go to 13. And every created thing which is in heaven upon the earth and under the earth and upon the sea and all the things that heard I say, and unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. There's two. There's not three. There's not one. There's him that sits upon the throne, Yahweh, and the Lamb. And us. We're actually the third, the people of Yahweh. And unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion of the age of ages. Let's go to the end of chapter 22:1 of Revelation.
There's 7 and 6 of verse.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. So it's 28 usages. We're just going to go to the end of Revelation 22:1-3. And he pointed out to me a river water of life, bright as crystal, issued forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. Isn't that great? You know, just, you're like, what are you saying here? You know, it just, it's 11 has to be all the way through the book of Revelation. And actually, I never thought about
11.
The evil, the corruptness is being purged and being fired, and you're saying repent, and they don't, and you repent, and you don't, and repent, just like what was going in the book of Exodus with Egypt. And so it was one thing after another. We, according to, you know, the 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to be translated out off of the earth, or before the horrors began, to get people to repent, because there's no reason to torture us if we're not part of the problem. We're pure. But the people who are not pure are going to get a chance to come clean, and some of them are. Otherwise, if nobody was going to come clean, then it would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just wipe it all out at once.
That's right.
Or the book of Noah. You know, everybody's dead. You know, that's it. Now, this is giving us 7 years of coming to Jesus moment, or coming to the Lamb moment. But let's start back at 22, verse 1. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb, in the midst of the broadway thereof. And on the side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, every several month, yielding of the fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And no curse shall there be any more, and the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his service. So this is the triad. This whole book's about three. About Yahweh, about Yahushua, and about the followers of Yahweh and Yahushua. The servants, right here. Look at that again. 3. And no curse shall be any more, and the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. It's not the throne of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
His servants
shall be there, and his servants. And that's us. There's always three. There's the husbandman, there's the vine and the branches. It's all the way through here. It is I am in the Father's in me, and I'm in you. It's always that three. And that's the leaven. The Trinity is leaven in the church. Yeah, bad leaven. And you got three gods, for goodness sakes. Now, that's the last uses of the word lamb, and I think we'll be go ahead and stop there.
You said
let's go ahead and we'll sign off, and we're going to hear from our Heavenly Father our prophecy for the people viewing. So, Father, we thank you that we've been purged, and to make sure that we don't have any leaven in us, and we don't have leaven around us with friends who are actually leaven, who are corrupting us. as that's always been the history. So let's purge out that old leaven and beyond leaven. And so right now we thank you for your Christ, and we thank you, Yahushua Mashiach, for being tortured and dying for us. Thank you, Father, for sacrificing your only begotten Son, that you loved us that much, that we will not you will not regret what you've done, and we realize that what you're asking is for us to live for him who died for us, who awoke. And so thank you for these words to Mashiach Yahushua. Be bold and stand on your two feet. Do not lean upon other people, but stand up tall and be counted by me. Do not be fearful of what men will say or what other people will say about you, because you are my sons and daughters, in whom I am anointed with Ruach HaKodesh, in order that you may dispel the spiritual darkness. Don't walk in the spiritual darkness, but to dispel and shine the light on the spiritual darkness, and it will be well pleasing in my sight. See you next week.